Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Times in a Podcast. Today it is the 18th of February and we are recording this just as Rangers have went top of the league after Celtic's 1-each draw at home to Kilmarnock yesterday. Full show of the day, full house. Darren, Andy and Tony were at the game yesterday. I had the pleasure of watching it in the house. Darren, I'll start with you. He kept the same team that played against St Mirren in the Cup, the Kyogo and Ida kind of tandem up front. I know he brought Taylor in for Burnaby, but what did you make of the first half of the game and the lineup? And, you know, because I thought the first half wasn't the worst, but how many times have we said that we've played well for 45 minutes this season? But interested in what you thought of the kind of new strike partnership, if you could call it that, up front.
Swan, it's something doing for me, Danny. I wasn't overly surprised because we did play well at St Mirren, so the fact that he kept it the same wasn't a major shock to me. But I think it was pretty evident early on that we were sort of struggling to break Kilmarnock down. Like, don't get me wrong, Kilmarnock are probably, outside of Hearts, probably one of the best of the rest in terms of teams that you go to play. So you're not expecting it to be a walkover. It was just more of the same, I felt we weren't awful in the first half, but it was more of the same that people have been complaining about. It's just sort of too much passing between Scales and Welsh and Ralston, and as you said, Taylor was back, which was good to see. I thought there was a bit more balance in the team with Greg Taylor in that first half, and we sort of struggled to see any major opportunities. I thought Palmer was pretty poor, which probably led to him getting subbed at half time. I thought he was quite wasteful with it. Maeda, I think he maybe had one half chance, but apart from that, was pretty quiet, and we kept plugging away. I thought the goal we scored was actually really well worked. It was a lot of passing round about the box, and then it's a lovely cross from Anthony Ralston for Kyogo, and Kyogo's header's lovely and leaves the keeper with next to no chance. And you're thinking, brilliant, we can go and get another one before half time and sort of make it a more comfortable game than maybe you expected. But I think a couple of minutes later, Kilmarnock, it was either a free kick or a corner, and I think it was a boy Donnelly headed it, and I think it was straight at Hart, but he still has to make a save, and it was a decent enough one. I thought we were maybe slightly fortunate to not give away a penalty. I can't make up my mind, even having seen the replay. At the time, I thought it was a penalty when Welsh was, I thought he was slightly late, but he may well have got a touch on the ball, and the ref didn't get in. There didn't seem to be any lengthy VAR check, but watching the highlights this morning, I'm still not 100% that we weren't a wee bit fortunate not to get given that against us. But I was talking to somebody last night, there was the first half itself, as much as it was pretty uneventful, if we'd have got that second goal and Matt O'Reilly has a shot that was well saved and then the header was blocked off the line, just before half time. I think if that had went in, it would have just really settled us, and Kilmarnock would obviously had to have come out a lot more in the second half, but unfortunately that wasn't the case. And in terms of the first half, Danny, as I said, I thought it was pretty uneventful, but as much as I would have liked us to get the second goal, I wasn't overly concerned thinking, oh, this is all going to go to pot, because as I said, I think apart from that Donnelly header, Hart hadn't had much to do. But what did you make of the first half?
I agree with you. I thought it was pretty much like every game, really, most games of the season, where there were some bright moments. I actually thought there was a big difference in the way that they were playing. I actually thought they tried to get Ida involved a lot more. They actually tried to play the ball into him. There was a few ones where he had some nice flicks and get the ball, and there was one where he flicked onto McGregor. The play opened up, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. McGregor would have burst into the box and scored. But I think he's lost that a kind of yard. I know that he was ever did great pace, but I think he's lost whatever pace he did have. And he played it out to Palma, and Palma took a really bad touch, and then he took a really good second touch to get away from the defender, but the keeper was there at that point. He should have just crossed it. But I was quite encouraged by the first half of it. Ida and Kyogo were linking up really well. I thought Kyogo was getting more involved, but at the back of your mind, you were like, right, well, they've not got that second goal. The goal was a great move. It really was. It was a great cross by Ralston. It was a great header by Kyogo. And then we had too many chances. O'Reilly should have burst the net at the end of the first half. I think McGregor tried to be too clever with outside his foot. He just put his foot through it and drilled it into the ground, the one that fell for him. And I actually thought that was a penalty for Kilmarnock in the first half. I thought Welsh was late. VAR did look at it, but they cleared it. I was actually surprised at that. I thought it was a penalty. But then I've seen a replay a few times. I'm not too sure. If Welsh does get the ball, I thought it was a penalty. But the word balance about Taylor, I think, spot on. I thought they looked a lot more balanced in the team. And Taylor, the first 10 minutes, Taylor basically played as a central midfielder. They were near left back. And he was getting the ball. He was moving it quicker. And they did move the ball a lot quicker. I thought Palma, there were a few times he was unlucky. He put a great cross in for Ida, and I think the boy might have got a flick on it, or Ida shut his eyes, but it really should have been a goal. But he is far too wasteful, teams are penned back in, you need to be quick, you need to get round them, and he does offer something, but it's very few and far between. I mean, he had a great assist for Kyogo last week, he had a great ball in that led to the second goal last week as well, but we don't see it enough. And I thought, actually, he was unlucky to get hooked. If Maeda was staying in the park, I thought Maeda had a shocker. But second off, as soon as Taylor went half an hour, it looked like it was planned. It's not a slight on Burnley, because I don't think he did much wrong apart from a pretty pathetic attempt to defend the equaliser. But they just lost that. They lost that balance. They went back to the four, kind of 3-3, and they just looked, again, before we hit record, I said they looked more in control of the game when they had two midfielders in the middle part rather than when they had three. And Andy, I'll bring you in. Well, I wind that up. We've lost that lead before in this season, but you were happened to be the game with Tony yesterday. What did you see? Did you see it in a different way? Did you see Celtic seeing it, or did you think Kilmarnock were creeping into the game?
The subs didn't actually make any sense to me, to be honest with you. I'm still staying on the bench when you're like, the game should have been out of sight, but you've got to play it as is. Yang went off time for Palma, fair enough. Palma was poor. I don't think any other wingers actually took him down and went by him. Yang tried when he came on, but wasn't getting a lot of joy. But other wingers are just a disgrace at the minute. They just can't take somebody on and get by them. Then you've got Burnaby for Taylor again. Whether that's a fitness thing, obviously with Taylor being out and just coming back, but I would agree Taylor provided balance to the team. And then Bernardo, Kuhn, the subs didn't make much sense to me. I couldn't really grasp them. I didn't fully understand what he was trying to do. But as I say, you're trying to see a lead out and you've got like a Wah sitting there that would have been the logical sub for me. Go and sit him in my head of the defence and sort of just try and see it out, because that's where we were at. Like, you're fucking 1-0 lead at home, come on, like you're talking about seeing a game out, which is a disgrace anyway, but I think we all seen it coming. I think everybody in the stadium seen it coming. And if they didn't, then they were watching a fucking different game for the rest of us. But we were rotten. There's no other way to put it. Like, we were relying on saves for Joe Hart. I think, I'm sure we were talking about this after the game. Like, I think Kilmarnock had more shots on target than we did. That's That's not in short a disgrace. We do not create enough chances. We do not. We're no clinical. We're no snake cutting edge. It's just passive. The ball just goes sliding entirely to the back line. Two centre halves don't want to try and find a pass. It's the safe options. Wingers can't take anybody on. Midfielders don't provide enough. Strikers that don't offer enough. It was one of the better games I've seen Kyogo this season. I think he had a bit of a free roll. I don't see it. It's not really two up front. I think Kyogo's more in the sort of 10, but he's given a role to sort of go and just try and get involved in the game. And I think he probably was a bit more involved, but aside for that. And I said at the time, what really set the tone, because they were well into the game at this point, but what really convinced me the fact that we were going to chuck it was, I can't mean the exact minute, but it was pretty late on in the game. As we remember, the ball's up in the air, and McGregor just nobody anywhere near him. Tries to bring it down with his right and just makes a complete arse of it and just takes a swipe at the ball. And I thought, there's just a complete lack of composure and belief I see in this game out here. And if that's your captain, who's usually Mr. Reliable, I've ranted and raved about what I think about Callum McGregor for long enough. But that was the minute I seen that, I thought, this is, we're conceding here. We just look at a team that's fucking shiting themselves. We knew it was coming. I don't think the players actually believed that they would see it. And when I seen that from McGregor, I just couldn't believe my eyes. I really couldn't believe it, especially because he's just one of our better players, but even technically. And he's just a swipe at it and I ran off. And I thought, they're just chasing us down here. And again, even the way the press, McKenna said it himself after the game, they had a lot of the ball, but the players that they wanted to have the ball had it. Because, you know, with Scales and Welsh, they're not going to step up and find somebody in the middle of the park. But again, our midfield is a disgrace at times. They're no dropping and asking for the thing. Nobody wanting to take responsibility, nobody wanting to take ownership and sort of go and make something happen, or go and sort of put the responsibility on their own shoulder and say, give me the ball. Just doesn't happen. They're the team at the minute, and it's just a disgrace. If we had through that game and sneaked a 1-0, it would have just been paper in our crack, because if this didn't happen against Kilmarnock, it would have happened against Motherwell. It would have happened eventually, that we would have dropped points and seen the stage where we were in the top of the league, and that's been coming, and that's symptomatic of everything. That's what happens when the team's not invested in properly. That's what happens when, I don't even know what Rodgers is up to at this point, and I don't know what happens next, because it really, I think the atmosphere in the stadium before the goal went in was, you could tell something was in the air, but you've seen it coming. It doesn't surprise me. I was a bit numb yet when it happened. It just felt as if it was a matter of time before we went and made a cunt of it, and that's what happened.
You're right. You spoke about the atmosphere, Andy. I think it was about 25 minutes to go, maybe, after he'd made the change with Taylor coming off of Burnaby and Bernardo on. And they went back to that kind of rigid. It is rigid. It's no flexible. It's very rigid, 4-3-3. It doesn't work. We seem to have lost the control that we had when we played it under Ange, but that's because we had Aaron Moy in there who could keep the ball. O'Reilly and Bernardo are always looking for that killer pass. McGregor keeps the ball tied enough, but Moy could play the killer pass as well as, well, make it, which helped. But about 25 minutes to go, I think Kilmarnock broke up the park and got a corner. And there were a wee bit of booing in the stands. And it was almost as if everybody seen it coming. And I was the same myself watching it. You thought, it's only going one way here. And I wasn't even watching it. You know that way when you're kinda hanging on, or you know, you're at the edge of your seat, but it wasn't even like that. I was kinda just sitting waiting in the coming. And then the goal, Kilmarnock's goal, when it did come late on, I think that Ralston goes up with Van Veen, I think, but somebody, I think the boy Murray's at the back post, he said, I mean, how he's there himself, how Kilmarnock have got a man spare in the last minute when they're chasing an equaliser at Park Heath. It's like, just the team was just so unbalanced, and it was a good cross in, and Burnaby just gets caught under it, and the boy, he does give him a nudge. It was never a foul. I mean, VAR had every right to look at it, because he does put both his horns out, but they've been very, very soft. Hart, it was a great header, but I think Hart was a bit slow going down. And then you've still got 3-4 minutes, and you just, maybe yesteryear, you know, last year, the year before under Ange, maybe you'd have thought they were going to score again. But just never seen it coming yesterday. And what it summed up for me is when they had, I think it was about the 94th minute, when they had Joe Hart gave it to Ralston, and I think he gave it to Burnaby, and then I think Burnaby gave it back to Ralston or something, or Welsh, and you just thought, we're chasing a winner here. We need a goal, otherwise we're going second in the league from, you know, a position of, I wouldn't say comfort, because we've not exactly kicked on all season, but to just be fanning about with the ball at the back in that moment just basically summed the season up. And I think Rodgers has been showing up in the last 3 months. It's very obvious that he's trying to get a goal or two up, and then you just pass the team off the park. You need players that are good enough to do that. We've no got players that are good enough to do that. It starts with the back five. Hearts, no great with his feet. Great shortstopper, kept us in many games this week. Actually, ironically, played a great boy yesterday. But he's no blessed with great ability with his feet. Ralston's distribution's quite poor. I know he had a great cross for the first goal, but in the way Rodgers wants to play, he's no good enough. Taylor isn't great at that either, but it's probably the best of a bad bunch. Scales and Welsh are very poor at it. And this season, I don't think I've ever seen Celtic so, in terms of like the way we could be playing, and we could be breaking up the park, and the ball could go wide, and you're expecting a cross, and literally 5 seconds later, they're 60 yards back, and Welsh and Scales have played a 1-2 with each other. And then one of them nominate, whoever gets the ball back, gives it to Hart, and he'll give it back to them, and then we go again. And it's very clear that that's what Rodgers trying to do. It's not worked plenty, and it's not worked enough times to think that it's not the right tactic. Look at, I mean, it didn't work against Motherwell, didn't work. I mean, look at the Rangers game. I mean, we're two up. They're doing a man, and yet 10 minutes later, we're hanging on to the 2-1, and they look more likely than us. And that's been, Darren, that's been a theme of what I've been worried about recently, is that other teams look more likely than us to score. I think Hibs, Aberdeen, Kilmarnock nearly won it yesterday, the Huns in December, but these teams look more likely than us. And why is Rodgers not seeing that this go a goal up and then start? Why is he not seeing that it's no one?
It's an excellent question, and it's what he should be. He should be able to identify. You've just come up with few games there just in the recent weeks. You're right, like that second half against Aberdeen, we looked like we were going to lose. Hibs game, there was after they equalised, there was a good 20-25 minutes where, you're right, they looked more likely to get a winner. I know we did get a winner that day, but on the balance of play, the second half looked like it was leaning towards Hibs. And yesterday was right, when I was speaking to somebody at the game yesterday, there was that point when Kilmarnock started getting set pieces and started getting forward more in the second half, and I heard somebody say, if they're going to score, then at least if it's now, I think it was about 25 minutes to go, that's what it takes, that Celtic team to sort of work out and flash in a chance. But even when we conceded that goal yesterday, I'd been coming and completely agree, it was never a foul. Burnley was just weak as anything, and it's pretty criminal that he did just sort of look for a foul and no really attempt to still defend it. I agree with you, I thought Hart should have saved it as well. I thought it wasn't an overly powerful header, it wasn't massively high or massively low. I thought it was a decent sort of position for him. And I thought, I heard a few people talking about Hart yesterday saying I think he'd get the sponsors man of the match as well, but I thought the saves he made were straight at him. And I thought the tone in the second half was sort of set by him, and I think it was the first 90 seconds of the second half, there was a ball that went into the Celtic 6-yard box and he was under no pressure and punched it away, and I think Kilmarnock got a corner 10-15 seconds later, and it sort of set the tone. But on your point about why teams are looking more lately, it's hard to say, because teams are just happy to let us have the bulk of possession. And I think yesterday again it was about 70%. As long as that game was 1-0 yesterday, McInnes wouldn't have been worried, because these teams know they'll get a chance. And you're right, when we did concede, the ball went back up to our end, and you're right, the defence was just sort of knocking it about together, and the fans were gone raging, myself included. It was pathetic from them. And it's after they scored, they had the best chance. Craig Shure had a shot that was straight at Hart, to be fair, but that was probably the best chance after they had equalised. And I was saying to you off air, if they'd have probably equalised 10 minutes earlier, they may well have went on and won it. And it's clearly this is a pattern of events that's happening now. That's as we've played Kilmarnock 4 times now this season and only beat them once. So clearly, I don't think Rodgers is earning the wage that he's getting. He's the highest paid manager in Celtic history, and like he's out after the game saying that, well, we almost got away with it. We've 12, 13 games to go. That is not what you're wanting to hear from your manager. And before the game, in like pre-match press conferences and that, he's talking about a negative narrative being built around the club. Well, I'm sorry, Brendan, but a lot of that is no getting built from external factors. It's because a lot of Celtic supporters aren't happy with the way things are going, and a lot of that's down to him. And I thought we should have, like, see, we look. There was a point in the game where we clearly looked like we're just going to try and play this out for a 1-0. At that point, rather than take Yogo off and put on, why not use Mike Narocki and just throw another centre-half in there next to Scales and Welsh, who both looked knackered, by the way, with 20, 25 minutes to go. Every time there was a break in play, they both looked like they were looked breathless, and I actually thought one of them might have went down at one point because they both had looked knackered. But if they gave yourself that extra centre-half in there just to give you a bit more an aerial prowess, and the game itself, like, thought that the game yesterday would have suited Narocki more, because one of his strengths is that he's better than they two at playing the ball out. He obviously had a great ball over the top for Kyogo that almost led to a goal, and I think generally he's a better passer of the ball than they two. I don't know, Daniel. I know we were well in favour of Brendan, and we're not going to go back and say, we never said that last year, because we obviously did, but I think a lot of the blame has to go with him. We've made it clear we don't get to press conference that because of what we'll say is about the low elves and that, but I think the spotlight really does need shined on Brendan in terms of your question. It literally is insanity, because he's repeating the same thing, and as you've mentioned, it just keeps happening again and again that we're falling out of games in the second half and putting ourselves under pressure. And apart from the last week when we did sort of change the formation slightly, there's not been a major change to the style that he's played all season.
No, I think you're right, and you know, I'm still behind Rodgers. I know some folk want him away. I think if what happened, but if the league was to finish tomorrow, I think he would be away. I don't think there's any question about that. But we are waiting, and Tony is on his way, so you will get to hear from him. Andy, you here? He's made it. Tony, so what did you make of the game? You and Andy were there. We've spoke about how there was a sense of inevitability about Kilmarnock's equaliser. But just talk us through what you've seen yesterday.
See, to be honest, for me, I'm just going to keep the faith and remember Rangers were bust 12 years ago. I think that's the main point. If you get three brain cells, I think I said in the last podcast, I don't think we'll win the league. I definitely don't think we'll win it now. But I think we're getting what we deserved. I think there's an arrogance about Celtic, mostly for boardroom and probably manager as well. There's a total arrogance and it's blown up. And I think if ever a board and a majority shareholder deserve to watch Rangers lift the league, potentially a treble, it's this board and Dermot Desmond. I mean, if you look at the team that lined up, the back five yesterday, me and Andy and my dad were talking about it, you'd heart. I think Taylor, Scales, Welsh, Ralston. If I said to anybody in June 3rd after we lifted the treble last year that would have been a lineup, you would have laughed. You would have thought I'd gone crazy. But no, that's actually what our recruitment team have served up. Don't get me wrong, I think the manager's lost the plot. I will get to that. I'm not just blaming the board, but just the recruitment has been diabolical. Mark Lawwell should be sacked and his dad should leave, but we know that's not going to happen because, as we've discussed a million times, that we're a bowling club family run by fucking assholes, if I'm being totally honest. I mean, even at full time, Lawwell, he's comfy seat right down into the presidential area, whatever you call it, whereas the rest of the board they stayed. But I think he probably knew he was going to get a bit of stick, which is deservedly so. As I said before, it's a bit of a curse to have him. The reason for bringing him back makes no sense. There's so many people hate him. But yeah, he sits in the best seat in the house every game, and he's still take money out of us after years of European failure, despite domestic success, which was really inevitable because our rivals died, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. But the game itself was pretty poor. Second half was diabolical. I thought Kelly bullied us. I thought we looked clueless. You would have thought we were playing kind of Bayern Munich at home and trying to see it out. Just panic stations, and I think you said it, Danny, or Dan said it. We're lucky Kelly didn't equalise sooner because he probably beat us. But I think for this season, I know it's people go, oh, don't concede the league, and oh my god, keep the faith. And that does nothing for me, I'm afraid. It doesn't. I don't feel like deluding myself. I think it's going to get worse. I said a few weeks ago, I think after we drew with Aberdeen, it's like watching a car crash in slow motion. You know the results are going to be horrific, but you're going to watch it. And that's what we're watching the now. It's just we're 2 points behind the now. I think Rangers now have the better goal difference. But I think we'll probably drop points again. But I think the time we go to Ibrox, they'll probably do us, and that'll be it. We'll be about 8 or 9 points behind. I just don't see it getting any better. I don't really know where we go for here either. I don't think we'll sack Brendan because of the money it would cost. I think they probably should sack him. And I never thought I would say that in my life. But he's just not been good enough. I mean, as I said, his press conference on Friday was babbling nonsense. I think you heard Dan touching on this thing he's saying about a narrative. He says that we were never 7 points ahead, which was bollocks because we were. He called the bombing of the Palestinians a war. I think most people have accepted it as a fucking genocide, but it was 8 minutes of fucking gibberish. And I think he thought he could come up here, he'll make amends with the fans that didn't like him, and this will be his legacy club. But it's just not happening. I don't think it's going to happen. I think there's a good chance he could concede a treble to Rangers, which is, if I said that after we won the treble with the big man, I don't think anybody would have believed it. But we spoke about before, Big Ange was the shield. He was the CEO, the chairman, the head of recruitment, the chief scout, the manager. He was everything, and the club was united, and the board weren't really looked at because somebody was doing their job for them, i.e. Big Ange. So, but now he's away, and you remember how much some of your fans dislike Brendan. There's no kind of protection there for the board, which is good, I think. I mean, we people asking us, even back in December, do we need to lose this league for people to turn their attention to Dermot Desmond and the board? And people even ask him, would you take it? And obviously, you don't want to concede the league, but or give them a league just to get your board out. But I think it's got to that stage now where they will win the league. And we need to get change as a football club. And as I've said a million times when I argue this point, looking at domestic success, it'll be 11 titles out of the last 13. It should be 13 out of 13. Can I be bragging? We've actually got too much money. We'll need to release an early statement. No spend any of it. Play absolute garbage. I mean, some of the guys playing for us should have been moved on years ago. To play them, expect to kind of, Rangers will implode and yada, 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 and then get caught is just gross negligence. And I think when Rangers won the league in the COVID season, they didn't back Gerrard, which was a huge mistake. They didn't get the Champions League money, and Big Ange ended up getting us the title. I don't think they'll make the same mistake this year. I think they'll get that money and they'll go, right, Phil, what do you want? How can we fucking stay ahead of these Fenian bastards? I think that'll be their mindset. Whereas Peter and the fucking clowns in our board probably are going, right, how can we get as much money out of these gullible Fenian bastards as possible? And that's the way they operate. And I mean, I think we were talking as well, they've got a Player of the Year awards at the Hydro. I mean, that is ripping the piss out of the fans to another degree. That'll be a laugh when they announce there's actually not a Player of the Year because they've all been garbage. So for me, I think next game's Motherwell away. We'll probably be 5 points behind. I don't think we'll be Motherwell. I think this is just going to be a total collapse. It does feel inevitable. I think the club's just fractured. The fans hate the board. The majority of shareholders are away playing fucking golf. He doesn't give a shit. There's nepotism just seeping through us. There's inept people at all levels of the club, from the board to fucking communications. You go to any level of Celtic, there's somebody that's inept. Don't get me wrong, there's fucking brilliant people at Celtic, but there's ineptitude throughout, and it's all kind of jobs for the boys. So I think the next home game, Dundee, could be 5 behind, could be 4 behind, maybe just 2 behind. I think it's just all pressure needs to get cranked up on the board. I mean, so that we'll just park at the end of the season. I don't think we can. I think we need to get these bastards to resign because they're absolutely useless at running a football club. I mean, the amount of time Celtic have got into positions of strength and just made an arse of it when we re-signed Neil Lennon, just total stupidity. And of course, it resulted in Rangers winning the league. No backing Brendan Rodgers in summer and or January is going to result in probably Rangers winning the league. So yeah, I just think it's the continual shooting yourself in the foot while bragging about the money you've got in the bank. It's just, it makes no sense to me at all. So for me, I cannot wait to the day that there's no Desmonds, Lawwells or Strachans even for that point at Celtic. And we've actually got a board that are there because of credentials in business and maybe football. And it's not just, oh, my son's fucking getting a job. Aye, head of recruitment. My son's needing a job, assistant manager. I mean, it's just madness. It's just so stupid. It's laughable, you know. You just go, it's a fucking turning over £120 million a year, but we're run by fucking clowns. If anybody tells you that we're turning over this money because the board are so good, it's because we're all idiots and we put in thousands of pounds or millions of pounds. So the money in the bank is there because of the fans buying every strip they post and every fucking stupid thing they put out on their website, every ticket, every Champions League package, soon it be a Europa League package. So, nah, just it's mad though for me that us four fucking dafties in a podcast could see this coming a mile away in November, and yet these guys, that I think Michael Nicholson's $770,000 a year, is he couldn't see it coming. He didn't think that maybe we should really push the boat out and spend over the odds to help Brendan and January, and we come up with Kuhn and Ida. I mean, it's just, it almost feels deliberate. It's almost that you sack the board, how dare you peasants, we'll put you back in your place. So as I've said before, I despise the people running the football club. I've certainly not ploughed as much money in next season as I have the last few seasons, and I'll not be travelling over as much. I know that sounds, oh, that's terrible, you're a glory hunter, or whatever people want to say, but I just fucking detest the people running this club, and I can't bear waste my time and money to fill their pockets. So, but apart from that, Pie at Half Time was lovely, so whoever does them, actually I think they're brought in another company. Sure.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You made a lot of good points. I wouldn't be conceding the league, although I would say that it is going one way at the minute. But we need to respond, and it is down to the players now and the manager. You know, it's January's been and gone. We didn't get what we needed, obviously. But there's got to be some sort of professional pride in there as well. I mean, it's all right blaming the manager, it's all right blaming the board, but the players have still got to see games out. And I think what you have said yesterday, you know, the captain let us down a few times yesterday, which is, to me, is unlike him. I know he's not the most popular figure amongst the support, but especially when things aren't going great. But aye. Andy, I wanted to ask you about Nicholas Kuhn. Came, Stato's seem to really big up his signing. They seem to be really excited. I don't want to say he's awful, I don't want to say he's shite. He's not shown what he's capable of so far, but I want to ask you for ease, this actually, but Andy, I'll ask you first. Does it look to you as if he's playing at 50%? I don't think I've seen him break out a jog once when he's been on the park.
You're allowed to just say that he's shite, Danny, you know, much like all the
wingers. I don't want to judge a boy after a handful of games, but he's meant to be rapid. I think he is rapid because he just jogs and he seems to get by quite quickly. But
there was a clip sent about on Twitter earlier on, and you seen it was late on in the game. We were obviously chasing, trying to get a winner, and he just didn't look as if he wanted to bust his arse to get the ball back when he should have been one of the fresher players in the park. And like you say, I don't think he's actually broke out and more in a jog. I don't know. There was discussions yesterday and a lot of people talking about, do you really think Rodgers signed him? And it's, the reality is the recruitment's not been good enough. The recruitment's not been good enough for fucking long enough. Kuhn is very much like every winger we've got at the minute, and they can't seem to be a man. They can't seem to give eye something and put a good ball in the box consistently. I don't really see what he's bringing. I've seen Rodgers was going with the old classic Neil Lennon swap the wingers tactic yesterday late on. That's just a guy that's... It was just hoping for something to happen. There was no real... We've just not got a plan B. I'm a bit like Tony. I don't really know what happens. Rodgers has probably got the safest job in Scottish football, definitely, but probably world football at this point. Like, we've seen what they've done with Lennon. Like, his job's safer than Lennon's, and like, they need to go. He probably has to go as well. Some of his comments have been fucking just mental, just utterly mental. But he's as guilty as well if he's sitting there lapping up this shite that they're serving. Ultimately, that back four of Ralston, Welsh, Scales and Taylor, if Kilmarnock turned up with that back four, you would have bat an eyelid. But no, that's just a disgrace. And you can make allowances for injuries. You can make allowances for when players go and they need to play in the Asia Cup or whatever it may be. These things you can make allowances for. But the reality is, we are entirely mismanaged. We've put ourselves in this position. And people can call it spoiled and all this shite because all they care about is no gone bust like Rangers. But I think that those were more than a couple of brain cells that want to think about it and think about where we should be, and we should be in a better position than this. As I said, I came to it was Shivani's had mentioned that if you went and played really well yesterday, and listen, football's football, if you went and put in a good performance and you don't win every game, fair enough, but if you put in a good performance, you go, do you know what, sometimes that can happen. But we're incapable of doing that. We're incapable of giving the fans any sort of faith or belief that the players are up for it for a start. They do not look up for it in any way, shape or form. So I don't really know where that's came from, especially when guys like McGregor are not looking up for it, because that's the biggest shock for me, the way he's been. But it's just a complete mismanagement. And we continually just give them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And we've done it every time we make an arse of it. And we were all praying going into January, like, surely they can see what we can see. Surely to God, they can see this. And they just go, let's maximise our opportunity to go see this league out and win the league. But they don't. They just refuse to, and we're fed the same shite that we get every single year. I don't know what it is. Apparently, we are the only team that struggle to do business. I don't get what the business plan is. I don't understand. I just don't understand how we are where we are. I don't understand it. Even just into simple things like people offering loan deals for McCarthy, and we say no because they're not paying his full wage. So somebody paying part of a guy's wage who's no kicked the ball since he signed. We would just rather pay it all. That doesn't make any sense to anybody. Like, I just can't grasp or understand what is going on with the fucking morons that run our club. Like, none of it makes any sense other than let's maximise profits and win something as cheaply as we possibly can. The only way they're going to invest money is if they see Rangers as a threat, and they don't see a threat until they lose a league, and then revenue and finances drops. That's the only way they'll ever do anything, and that's the only way they'll potentially invest in what you've seen before when Rodgers came the first time, because Desmond had to lap up seeing Rangers directors going at the big game. That's what forced our hand before, and it's going to take that again to force this board's hand, because that's the only time that Desmond seems to give a fuck, because he's too busy the new fanning about rubbing shoulders with golfers, packing up the place with a 9-iron, to care that we have chucked, whatever Rodgers says utter shite, we've chucked a 7-point lead. We've already chucked one of the cups, probably going to chuck another one of the cups. We're getting into the most lucrative Champions League there's ever been for a couple of us. We're going to chuck that, and you're going to throw in money, and whether you like it or not, they'll fucking spend it. And as Tony said earlier, all they'll care about is no fun back into second place. And we just make it more and more difficult for us to do anything about that. And it's nobody's fault but our own, because we allowed it to happen. And as I say, even if Rodgers does go, you find yourselves in the same position, because all the boys will still stay about. And they'll probably just look to say, who's anybody know anybody? And it'll be the same shite, and we'll put ourselves in the same position again. And it's just complete mismanagement from the very top, and it is riddled throughout the entire club. It's just incompetent. As it's been mentioned, even the communications team, it's just incompetence from the top right down to the bottom. And that some of the comments that are made at times, some of the treatment is just utterly bizarre. And there's no other way. The board deserve it. They deserve that to happen. They deserve to have to sit there and watch us chuck that away, because that's what's happened, and it's been under their watch. But I don't see it changing as well. I just don't see a team that's up for a fight here. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we came out and we're up for it, and this is the wake-up call that they needed. I just don't see it. That's the reality. But in short, Danny, I don't know. I don't understand. Couldn't make their player. Couldn't tell you, because as you say, I've not actually seen him break a sweat yet. So
no, I think you talk a lot of sense, Andy. Darren, when was the last time Matt O'Reilly had a good game?
The Nick and me would say it was definitely before he heard about Atletico Madrid putting in a bid. But no, I think it's just with Matt O'Reilly's obviously was much better in the first half of the season. I think he's still been involved. Obviously hit the post that Tawdry should have probably scored yesterday. I think the midfield is a real concern for me. A couple of the boys have spoken about Cal McGregor. I think he has been struggling a lot this season. And apart from if you take out the two Rangers games and maybe that half hour against St Johnstone at McDermott Park, there's not been that many standout performances from him. And what worries me most about it is, apart from Matt Riley, who generally has been pretty consistent, and that sort of purple patch that Bernardo had around Christmas time, you're getting next to nothing from the other midfielders. And Rodgers doesn't seem to fancy Awata, doesn't seem to fancy home. And I just don't know where we go in the midfield. You're obviously missing Hatate. He will walk straight back into the midfield. I think that's pretty without doubt at the moment. But it really is a sort of problem position for me. And it used to be the position that you looked at early years where you said our Celtic are sort of overrun with good midfield options. But right now, you're seeing, I think, Danny, that when Matt O'Reilly isn't on form, then the midfield's just sort of getting passed by. And whether that's with the two in midfield that they've had the last 2 weeks or the three, I just think that's been a real problem position for us. I don't want to pin all the blame on Matt O'Reilly, he's obviously still had a great season, but the cynic in you would say, since he heard about that Athletic interest.
I think that's a valid point. I just think, I don't think Matt O'Reilly's played well since the end of November, since we were out the Champions League. I think his last decent contribution was that cross for Lager Bielka in the Champions League. I think games seem to have passed him by. I mean, I seen MB say it was a business decision for O'Reilly, which, you know, you've alluded to as well, which might be right. But I think you made a good point about the midfield. I think it's been such a theme this season that in the last 15-20 minutes of games, the midfield get completely overrun, and we've been punished for it repeatedly. And whether Awata is, you know, Awata played at Kilmarnock and we get beaten a second off, and folks seem to think, oh, that means he's shite, you know. But why did we not sign a midfielder? We've got too many. Some would say we've got too many midfielders. We've got too many players in there that can play midfield, but I wouldn't say we've got too many midfielders. And why did they not sign a midfielder in January? Why did they not sign a midfielder in the summer to replace Moy? Because I know Hatate and was there. Hatate's not been fit most of the season. Everybody, people pinning their hopes on being a couple of points behind them before, you know, we're two at the minute. Is anybody pinning their hopes on a Hatate coming back? I don't know, but it's a bit. It is very desperate at the minute. You know, we were 7 points clear. We were playing Hibs away. If we beat them, we would have went 10 clear. I know they would have had a game in Hornet at the time, but we'd have played the first 11 fixtures, most of them at difficult away venues, and been at least seven clear. Couldn't they win that game? Drew not an each, and I think it's been quite a quick collapse since then, and who knows, maybe this isn't the collapse, maybe the collapse is yet to come, and it's going to get worse. But Tony, last question goes to you. I mean, you seem to think it's a way that's only going one way. I don't think many people would argue with you, but what can Celtic do the new to resurrect the season, really?
Nothing. The window's shut. I mean, unless all the board announce some order that we admit, we're fucking daddies, we're all leaving. Peter's leaving, his son's leaving, Desmond sold his shares, somebody else is coming in. You probably got a boost for the fans for that, but on the pitch, I mean, you know, to be fair, I probably didn't go in enough in the players there, and I probably I probably should, because a lot of them are kind of seasoned winners that have won the trebles and won leagues before. But and I don't really want to go in guys like Stephen Welsh and Anthony Ralston, because they shouldn't be anywhere near it. Burnaby shouldn't be anywhere near it. And these guys are trying, they're just simply not good enough, I think. Andy summed it up brilliantly. If that was Kelly's back four next season, you would go, hey, that kind of makes a bit sense. Or back five, even, because Joe Hart's, as much as, again, I think if it wasn't for Hart, we'd probably be sitting in no points in the last three. But again, just no good enough if we want to go to the next level, which seems a fucking million miles away. We're playing guys who've just done the Celtic quality. Thiago's become that kind of free roam midfielder. I think there's just an ineptitude throughout. The manager's not doing the business at all. He's been hopeless for the money he's getting. The players have been really poor. Over a couple of injuries, but Rangers are missing Sima and Danilo, who are probably their two best players, and they're kind of just walking to the league. And I don't, wants to say they think Rangers will win the league. It's been fucking a while since I've said it, but I think you just need to go with the facts, keep the facts as opposed to keep the faith. And the facts are that they're very united. It feels very much like the Ange season with us, kind of reverse, because he was 7 points behind Clement, and their fans are just rallied behind him. He's won the League Cup, and he seems to just, he's kind of up to it. The Scottish football's full of fucking absolute dross, and he's hammering them, unlike us. I don't think the collapse has happened. I think this is the beginning of an almighty collapse, which will see protests and all the stuff you can't really be arsed with. But as I say, I think we deserve it. I think we've been so arrogant. And even some of your fans, if you're ever on kind of Facebook groups, which I certainly wouldn't recommend, saw this just shite of Sefco are going to collapse and Sefco this, and it's fucking nauseating, to be honest. I think we'll lose the league if they don't win the treble. I think that might be our success story for the season. I don't even mean us winning the Scottish, just as long as they don't win the treble. But everything's pointing the one way. Brendan doesn't seem to be able to change the style of football. It's not getting any better. If we were unlucky yesterday, had fucking 42 shots, 20 in target, then you would be going, oh, that's just one of the games. But I don't think we've been unlucky. I think in some instances we've been lucky not to lose, to be totally honest. So for me, I mean, unless the manager's got to do something drastic, but I don't think he is. I think he's culpable. I think if he ever wanted to become a Celtic legend or get Celtic fans back on his side, then he should have walked away and says, look, this board of fucking clowns. I don't think any Celtic fan would have anything bad to say about him. But again, he's getting mega millions to draw with Derek McInnes and lose to Derek McInnes. So who the fuck's going to walk away for that? But I think for him, maybe he's accepted that his career's fucking down the tube now. Any dreams of big jobs? I mean, it wasn't long ago he was touted with Arsenal and Man United. I think that's kind of long gone now. And if he loses a league for the position he was in, then he's totally fucking had it. So he's not the same Brendan he was the first time. He seems just kind of, I don't know, just not really exciting. It was great the first time, but this time it's just been, in fact, he's back to board and had swipes at the fans. I'm just thinking, have you lost the plot? Have you banged your head? But I would love to say, I think we'll turn it round and get up for this title fight and everything, but the fans have been up for it. Even the Green Brigade were singing to the last minute yesterday. It doesn't matter fuck if the fans are up for it. If the players and the manager are not up for it, and the board are not willing to put in the money to make sure the players and the manager can get over the line, it's just no our fault. So, and just as well, I know, well, hopefully he's still listening. I know he doesn't like the adverts. If Mr. MB from Twitter, I've been told that you think I've come off Twitter because I'm avoiding paying out in their charity bet, which we do at the start of the season. I think it's one each. It's soon to be 2-1 to MB. I picked Abadan, made it to get more goals than, I think it was Sor and Nunes. So I think I'm about 30 goals behind. So if somebody gives you my number, I'll be happy to pay that bet out early to your charity of choice. Could say a fiver this year. So if he's listening, then just to get that out there, I've come off Twitter because I really hate some of your fans on it. That's a truthful reason. So, but I know you gave me the last question, Danny. I'll give you a prediction for Motherwell. Going with the optimism, I think we'll go beat 2-1.
I knew that was coming. Motherwell next week, a tough away ground usually for us. Motherwell are completely shite at the minute. They got horsed at Bolton in the cup. They threw away a 3-goal lead at Aberdeen and probably should have got beat. And they get beat yesterday very convincingly at Hearts. So when Motherwell were in poor form. I don't think Motherwell had. I think they lost something ridiculous, like 8 of their last 11 games or something. They came to Celtic Park and they got a 1-1 draw, so they're in just as bad form this time. So Celtic really don't play well against teams that are in poor form for whatever reason. So away next week. Actually, I'll not get to see the game because I'm at a christening next week, so that might be a blessing in disguise. Maybe Celtic will turn it on whilst I'm there, but I'll certainly be in the chapel praying, and I'll be praying for a miracle. I think I don't want to concede the league because they're only 2 points in it. We've beat them twice this season already, but it is going the one way. I think that's clear to anybody, but up for a fight and hopefully the team are as well. But the team have just gave us nothing to really rally around. I think Tony's right. I mean, the fans sung away yesterday. There was a wee bit of, well, I think the crowd's seen it coming, like everybody else who was watching the game. But the team really need to give the fans something to rally around. We spoke about that before the Hibs game, and aye, we get the last minute winner, but they didn't really move any further forward. St Mirren was actually quite pleasing to see a clean sheet against St Mirren. Didn't think we were capable of any of them. And I just think that the team now, Motherwell, I mean, every, you know, the next game's the perfect opportunity, but every game's like that now, they really need to give the fans something. If they want the fans on side, because the thing is, it's all right saying, oh, take it back, the team sat your board, right? It's all right saying that, but a lot of the team are, it's all right if the team are giving the fans something to rally around. You know, then we can look, when we know the problems, we all know what the problems are, but the players aren't helping them in it. So it'd be good to see the players give the fans something to really get behind and rally around and say, right, do you know what, what's happened's happened, but yous are out there, yous have gave us something to rally around, so, you know, we've got, what is it, 12 games left plus cup games, let's just fucking have a right good go and see what happens. But the way things are going, there's a very distinct possibility that we could beat them 4 times and no win the league, and if that was to happen, I don't think any of the players should survive that. The manager certainly shouldn't. They shouldn't, most of them shouldn't, if they lose the league anyway, whatever happens in their games. But if we were to take 12 points off them and no win the league, everybody should probably lose their job if that was to happen. But we're not at that stage yet. We're not that further forward. But Darren, Andy, well, Darren, I'll start with you. A prediction for Motherwell, what do you think? Is there going to be a bounce back?
So I don't know. Like, they're at home to Hearts on the Saturday, and the chances are that we're going to go 5 points behind, and I just don't see it. And in this team, I've seen people talk about saying, oh, it's all right, they were chasing, let's see how they can handle being at the top. But it's more our team that I worry about in terms of trying to chase down a team. I don't see what in it. Like, I think you mentioned it there, there's nothing that inspires me about the team. Like, the players don't inspire me, the captain doesn't inspire me, the manager doesn't. Like, it just feels like a complete drag, and Motherwell are absolutely shite. But problem is, the 2 games we've played them, like, even the last time we played at Fir Park, that was the day we did go 7 points clear, and we nearly threw that game. It took Matt Riley to the 97th minute to get that winner, and then, as previously mentioned, they got a draw at Celtic Park as well. So I'm not massively confident we will win, and that's like, how can you expect to win a league if you're going to Fir Park and not expecting to win pretty comfortably? And that's my worry. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they do get a bounce, maybe something happens like out of this world on Saturday and they drop points and you do have that opportunity to sort of get right back in it. But I personally kind of see it at this point. I think we will be 5 behind, and I think we'll probably leave for Park probably 4 points behind. I think we might draw one each, Danny, and I hate to say that because I need to be honest, it's just nothing's inspiring me. I think you mentioned it earlier that I'm not completely conceding the league, because I think as much as we wanted a couple of quality additions brought in January and we didn't get them, like, if you were to tell me that the physios get part of Vickers and Hitati up to speed in the next few weeks, I still think there's a slight chance that with A2 and the team and probably a slight upturn in form that we could sort of drag it back. But I'm a bit like you as well. I think there's probably a chance that we could win all 4 derbies and still lose the league. And I hate to give a poor prediction like that, but I think it might be 1 each, Danny.
Andy, we've got a Motherwell win, we've got a 1 each draw. What are you going to say? Bear in mind, this is still raw after yesterday and their result of the day, but what do you think will happen on Sunday?
Okay, I'll not be too, people probably want to throw themselves into the Clyde listening to this, but try not be too negative, and I'll say that we'll scrape a victory, but I think it'll be more of the same, a poor performance. And aye, Rogers will be talking about how we've got away with it. Aye, so I'll say a 2-1 win, but it'll be very, very nervy towards the end, and we'll somehow come out with a victory.
My head says that I wouldn't back Celtic to beat anybody at the minute. My heart says 2-0 Celtic, but I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I wouldn't back us to beat anybody. Apart from Aberdeen at home and hearts away, when we won 4-1, we had edgy moments in that game. Even I think it was at 3-1, but it looked quite nervy. But you thought, well, if Hearts would have got an old goal, we'd maybe be panicking. And then Aberdeen at home, we've not really put a team away. And the next game's the best chance to do it, but I just don't know. You just wouldn't back us, would you? I'll go for 1-0. I'll go for an Ida penalty in a pish game and a pish surface against a pish opposition. And I think we will be 5 behind. I can't see. And the thing is, we can't rely on favours, you know what I mean? But they've, for as poor as I think they are, they're consistent and they're beating teams, and they look more likely to beat teams than we do. We're Celtic, as a club, we're absolutely where we deserve to be at the minute. And there's nothing we can do to bring players in, or nothing we can do, you know, recruitment-wise at the minute, but there's got to be something happening in that. There's got to be something happening at the club between the players, the manager. Something's got to give before the end of the season. Because what's happening in us, it was unthinkable 3-4 months ago. Even though we were only great, and nobody was saying the league was wrapped up and it was done and all that, but we certainly hadn't really kicked full stride yet. But what's happened since the Motherwell game at home has just been, bar the 4 or 5 games after Hearts at home, it's really not been good enough. And I've seen folks talk about complacency and beating Rangers in December, and people saying, well, as if the board thought, well, we don't need to act because we've beat Rangers. But that game was, you know, you're 2-0 up, you're a man up, and somehow you end up hanging on. Rodgers should have been banging the board's door down after that game and said, look, you need to give me X amount of money to get 3 good players in January, otherwise we're not going to win it. And it doesn't seem like that's been done. Well, it's obviously not been done, but I don't even know how hard Rodgers pushed to get the signings. But we'll just need to take it game by game now. And, you know, Scottish Cup, you're talking about it becoming a kind of sideshow if we're not winning the league and having to win it to stop them winning a treble for the position that we're in at the start of the season. Sounds, when they've already sacked a manager this season, just is mental to me. But we've been out an hour now, so if anybody, I mean, I don't think anybody is going to have made it this far, apart from a few Rangers fans, they might have discovered that we exist again, so welcome to them. But, and thanks for the support. But we'll be back probably next week after Motherwell. Hopefully the damage will not be as bad as what some have predicted, but you just wouldn't bet against them in it. So if you made it this far, thanks very much, and we'll be back to keep the faith, Tony. Keep the facts.
Fucking shoot that. I'm only joking. I could see Shannon Ian ready to ring me there. I thought I was going to see the final. Get around you. But be still.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.